This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out. And we're bringing you these messages by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr., and on this, what we call the Voice of Truth broadcast. Yes, the Voice of Truth, as it goes out day by day, my friend. The message you'll hear today is the Day of Doom. Last week, we looked at the wrath of God, and today, the doom, the Day of Doom. My friend, think about it, would you? Would you think about your soul, where it's going to spend eternity? And then I'll give you the mailing address and more information at the close of the service.
Behold, the day of the Lord, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Listen again to the word of God. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all get it down, acquit the wicked. Listen again to the word of God. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? When God speaks, let every man be silent. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Listen to thus saith the Lord. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Listen now, get it? And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hide themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? My friend, to the average individual today, Jesus is pictured as a lowly Nazarene, as a little effeminate something that would not harm a flea. Up here in Revelation 16, 12, 17, the Word of God speaks of the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Talking about the Lamb becoming angry. Our Lord becomes angry at sin. Hear again the word of the Lord. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now let's read the verdict of a just and holy God upon the awfulness of sin and the sinner. Listen to God's word. Listen to this verdict. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We see here that the law condemns every sinner for omissions as well as commissions. That is, for every sin, even the least sin. Listen to the verdict again. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. You say, I'm not much of a sinner. You say, I don't do bad sins. I'm not like the other fellow. That isn't the question. You are a sinner. You have sinned. Therefore, you are under the curse. This scripture is based upon Deuteronomy 27:26. listen to the law of God. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Then the question arises, what is the wrath of God? God's wrath is the doom pronounced upon every individual who continueth not in all the words of the law of God. That word doom has an awful sound. This curse pronounced in this great text is God giving the sinner to wrath in this life and the life to come. Listen, man, thou art a sinner. Thou hast broken the law of Jehovah God. Thou art bound over to the wrath of God, which abideth upon you continually. May the Holy Spirit awaken you to see the doom under which you rest, and to see yourself guilty before a holy God. Awake, sinner, out of thy sleep. Awake, sinner. You're under the doom of a sin-avenging God. I'm not speaking of man's law. I'm speaking of God's own voice in his law. Get this one great fact, that justice demands that God will fix a punishment on sin which it deserves, no more, no less. In the first place, let us see what God's wrath and curse, whichever sin deserves. We're living in an age when fools make mockery of sin. Blinded sinners laugh at sin. Hard-hearted sinners plow on in sin. Christ-rejecting sinners rot in sin. And hell is moved from beneath to meet them at their coming, and they are unmindful of it. God's wrath abideth on them. The God's wrath abideth on you, my friend, if you're not in Christ. When we read our Bibles, we often find the expression, an angry God. But God's wrath, get it now? God's wrath is no passion, though he is angry. We might say that his wrath is a fire which burns fiercely without smoke. Now let's notice how God's anger burns as a fire. First, in his displeasure against the sinner. Listen to God's word. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's God's concept and attitude towards sin, my friend. Now, why is God's displeasure against the sinner? Why is God displeased with the sinner? You listen. It is because that sin makes the individual loathsome and hateful in God's sight. Sin kindles a holy fire in God's heart against the sinner. The old psalmist was made to cry out, who knoweth the power of thine anger? The reason we do not understand the wrath of God against the sinner is because we do not understand the nature of sin, nor the loathsomeness of sin, the evil of sin, and the wickedness of sin. We are told in Nahum 1:2, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Then he speaks again in Isaiah 1:24. Ah, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. If the wrath of a king is like a roaring lion, what must be the wrath of Jehovah God against sin? In speaking of the wrath of God, the scripture says, listen, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Are you living under the displeasure of God? Have you ever been made to realize that you are a sinner? and that the wrath of God abideth upon you continually. May the God of all grace and the Father of all mercies write his law in your mind and in your heart, and that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into your heart, and you would come to see and to feel and to know and to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you have sinned, and that you are guilty and are standing under the displeasure of the Lord God of heaven. Knowing the terror of God, I persuade me and I long after your heart in Christ. I am pleading. Listen, stop, man, woman, be still. Ask the God of all grace to open your heart. Let you see your guilty distance from a holy God. Let you see the awfulness of sin. Let you see the wickedness of sin and the loathsomeness of sin. Will you pray that prayer? Will you do it? Oh, sinner friend, will you pray that prayer? Lord, open my heart. Lord, let me look in. Let me see what I am by nature. The wrath of God and the curse of God is his separating the sinner unto evil. Did you ever hear tell of such as that? God separating the sinner unto evil. Listen to the word of God. And the Lord shall separate unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses that are written in this book of the law. Yes, it is the turning of the sinner over to destruction and to all the effects of the divine wrath. I wish that great truth would pierce like a pointed arrow or a two-edged sword into the very depth of your heart and let you see what it means for God to separate you unto destruction and turn you over to divine wrath, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. We are living in a day when multitudes make fun of hell, even deny there is a hell. And many will say laughingly, ah, when I die, I'm going where the great crowds are, as if it is something to make light of. If you could only realize that the wrath and the curse of Almighty God is the tying of the sinner to the stake. And there he stands as a mark of God's vengeance, because he has broken God's law and he has offended God's justice. And as a result, God turns loose all his arrows upon him. Then all the miseries and plagues written in God's law book flow from the wrath of God upon the sinner. Yet preachers will stand in the pulpit and make fun of the wrath of God, or apologize for preaching on or speaking on or even mentioning in hell, and with a sugar-coated lips tell his people that I preach only on the love text of the Bible, when he himself has never been awakened to the awfulness of the fact that he's a sinner and under the wrath of God. That's our trouble today. And our prayer is, Lord, send an awakening. Lord, pour out thy spirit. He said, I will pour out my spirit. May this be the day when there be such a quickening all over radio land. Our prayer is, O Lord God of heaven, hear us in this hour. You see the multitudes going down to an eternal hell. We plead at the throne of thy grace for them. Among them are thy elect. Lord, let thy spirit fall mightily at this time upon the hearts of sinners as they listen, and may their hearts be opened by writing the law upon their minds and into their hearts for Christ's sake. Listen, friend, listen. Now let's go just a little bit further and see what is God's wrath and curse, not only in this life, but in the life to come. In this life, every sinner meets all the miseries of the world. There are the miseries of the body, our sufferings because of sin. There are the miseries of our relationship to others, the hatred of one for another, the miseries of broken homes stare us in the face every day, the miseries in regard to our employment, our manner of making a living, all the worries and anxieties in this phase of life we face daily. My friends, how can you bear it without Christ? No wonder men commit suicide. No wonder men run off from their homes. No wonder women, mothers shoot their babies. No wonder there's our jails filled with every type of individuals. No wonder the young people are turned loose like a raging bunch of wolves today, everywhere we turn. All right, listen. Listen, friend. Then there are the miseries of the soul. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, blinded by the god of this world. How awful to be blinded to your spiritual condition, lost and not know it, blinded to the beauties of the Lord, blinded to the way of salvation in Christ. You never realize the awfulness of such blindness until your spiritual eyes are opened and you're brought to behold your unlovely Lord. Then there's the hardness of our hearts because of sin. The hardness of heart produces cruelty, brutality, hatred, jealousies, envies. The hardness of heart drives one to his own destruction under the wrath of a sin-avenging God. One of the great miseries of this life is our vile affections, which make men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Vile affections makes men covetous, boasters, proud, lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truce-breakers, traitors, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, satisfied with a form of godliness, but always denying the power thereof. No wonder God's wrath abides upon sinners. The misery of the soul brings forth horrors of conscience, always accusing the individual, and he's always trying to drown conscience. He'll stay out late at night before he goes to sleep because he does not want to think. He will take to drinking or the use of some type of narcotics to lull his mind. He'll drown himself in some lust of the flesh or deeds of the flesh, lest he will have to think. Multitudes have been driven to suicide because of the horrors of conscience when there all hope is gone. Then in the end comes death, in which the soul is separated from the body and plunged into eternal miseries of hell, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Try to explain it away if you will. It still remains. It's an eternal fact. Then in the life to come, the miseries of the individual are intensified by eternal death and damnation under the eternal punishment of loss in hell. One day, an atheist said, "I do not believe what you're preaching." Then the minister replied, "Now, sir, you have told me what you do not believe. I pray tell me, if you will, what do you believe?" Then he replied, "I believe that death ends all." "So do I," replied the minister. "What?" said the atheist. "You believe death ends all?" "I certainly do." "I believe death ends all your chance for doing evil. Death ends all your earthly joy. Death ends all your projects, all your ambitions, all your friendships. Death ends all the gospel you will ever hear. Death ends it all for you, and you'll go out into the outer darkness." "As for myself," said the minister, "death ends all my wanderings, all my tears, all my perplexities, all my disappointments, all my aches and pains. Death ends it all, and I go to be with my Lord in glory." Then the atheist replied, "I never thought of it like that way, sir. Is there hope for me in Christ?" My friend, stop and think on your ways and turn your feet under the testimony of God. You can't win fighting God. You can't win by rebelling against God. You can't win by running from God. Stop, sinner! Stop, sinner! Halt! Listen, sinner! Will you? You're traveling at breakneck speed under the wrath of God to your eternal doom and destruction. Will you stop? Oh, sinner, stop and listen. Now let's go just a little further and show you that there is no sin which does not deserve God's wrath and God's curse. In the first place, we find in God's Word that the wages of every sin is death. We also find as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then in Job 24:19 we find these words, "The grave consumes those which have sinned." This means that every individual is under the sentence of death, and after death the judgment. It does not mean what man calls big sins, but the least sin condemns a man if he is not forgiven or justified in Christ. We are also told that every idle word condemns us, and if never forgiven, they will be punished forever. We also find that every sin, how trifling it may seem in our sight, listen, I'll get it, is a breach of God's holy law. And the individual who breaks God's law in one point is guilty of all, according to James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So the individual who is guilty of all, and every individual is, deserves the wrath and curse of God, not only in this life, but the life which is to come. Did you ever stop to think there is only one author of all the commandments of the law, and his name is Jehovah God? And no matter in what manner he is offended, it means eternal punishment. Every sin is against God's love. Then to offend a holy, loving God means eternal punishment unless forgiven. My friend, the law of God requires universal obedience. Now, where does that leave every individual? It leaves them as a transgressor. And what an awful state to find oneself in, waiting the doom of God. You may want to raise this question. All right, listen. You may want to raise this question. Why does ever sin deserve such punishment? You listen closely. Why does ever sin deserve such punishment? Sin is an infinite evil and deserves infinite punishment, because the guilt and defilement of sin is never taken away, but endures forever. Think with me just a moment. It is the eternal God who's offended. God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Then the sinner, never being able to put away his offense, must suffer for it throughout eternity. Then as the offense remains forever, the punishment must be eternal. Let me call your attention to this scripture. "There shall in no wise enter into it heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Therefore, that being true, the sinner must be forever excluded and punished for breaking the law of God and offending the holiness of His majesty. Sin wrongs an infinite God. As we said, since God is infinite, the sinner deserves infinite punishment. The sinner, being a finite being and not capable of punishment infinite in value, therefore he must suffer infinite in duration. You let that soak in. You may say, "Pastor, listen, I know our time's about gone. Do you hold out any hope for me? Is there no balm in Gilead for a poor, wretched sinner's eye?" Yes, my friend, Christ died for all the sins of his elect. Listen to God's word. "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Listen again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hear it. Listen. Listen, sinner. "Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." I would that at this moment, by faith, you could see that Christ became a curse for you and that he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, that you felt and knew your need of a substitute, of a Savior. Sinners, are you convinced of your absolute need of Christ? You must be in him or lost and ruined forever. I wish you could hear that word thundering in your heart. Doom, 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 until you'd be made to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute. You cannot be freed from that curse and the wrath of God except in Christ. May you be so alarmed that you will flee from the wrath that is to come by fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivereth all his people from the curse of the law. I never cease praising God that he's delivered this poor wretched sinner from his wrath and from the curse of the law. I never lived a more guilty, there never lived a more guilty sinner than I. He delivered me, my friend. He can deliver you. Turn to Christ and live. Down, sinner, down at the feet of Christ.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer, pastor here at Radio Mission, bringing to the close another broadcast this morning, and the message that you heard was the Day of Doom. I wish you'd call and get this message. Call me on the phone after the broadcast goes off. There's nobody at the office on Sunday, but we have an answering machine. It'll take it. Just tell us what name and address and where you want to send this message to. But listen, the Day of Doom. Oh, let's be realistic, folks. The old trailblazer is a realist. I believe in reality. And I know the soul that sinneth is going to die. And after that, the judgment. So I ask my folks here oftentimes in our meeting, in our regular service, where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you trusting the Lord? You say, Pastor, what is salvation? It's coming to know the Lord, trusting the Lord. You can't go to heaven by baptism and speaking in tongues and all of those things. That's not salvation, my friend. That's all man-made. But the salvation is looking to the Lord. Oh, but listen, our time is running out. The message you heard was the Day of Doom by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. I'll be glad to send it to you in booklet form, printed form, free and postpaid, along with others if you'd like. So if you write me, call me, email me, and my mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my email address is pastor@radiomission.org. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to tune in next week at this same time. Goodbye and God bless you.